Hello, you're listening to another Solid Gold production.
And a very warm welcome to yet another week with Mel and Jen. Jennifer Baxter in on TV in France. How are you doing today?
I'm really well, Melanie Walker. And hello. And who do you have with you there?
Well, I'm going to let her introduce herself. Obviously, a South African sitting next to me right now. And this is actually quite exciting because this is somebody who's going to be doing her own YouTube channel and podcast. So please introduce yourself and tell us all about what you do.
Jenny Baxter, hi. Thank you both for having me on Mel and Jenny. I'm Carrie Adams. And most people in the wine industry know who I am, in the booze industry, actually. But I've worked for 35 years here and overseas in the wine industry, whiskey, brandy, spirits, retail, distribution, you name it. I love booze, but I don't love booze.
She's a tipsomaniac.
I love the art and craft of alcohol, and that's sort of what I've focused my life on. But whilst I've done that, and I'm sort of semi-retired at this stage of the game, I have always loved broadcasting, and I've had a radio show. I had a radio program for 22 odd years with Primedia. I then worked for 8 or 9 years with Classic FM, where we had my own wine show. And then I did a bit of work with Biz News, and that's where I met Solid Gold.
Yeah.
And the Kennedys, who are addictive when it comes to their enthusiasm about podcasts. And I'm a technophobe. I'm a Technosaurus Rex. I know nothing about any of this that we're doing. But it's exciting. And I think it's 21st century and it's time to sort of move along and move away from radio broadcasting and do some YouTube channels and some podcasts.
And so what will your YouTube channel be about? Will it be about wine, whiskey, beer? Will it have other things as well?
Yeah, so it's going to be called Carrie's Connoisseurs because there's so much that goes together with booze. There's food, there's cigars, there's
nice
parties. Everything nice in your mouth, really. So
we're going to do the words I'm going to put into her mouth.
So that's what it's going to be. And just over the years, I've had the privilege, because I've met a million people in this industry, and I've had the privilege of being able to interview chef de caves from Champagne and whiskey masters from Scotland and you name it. So, yeah, it's going to be everything booze.
So it's not just limited to things that are South African. It's from around the world.
From everywhere. And anybody who's got anything that they think might be a good idea is very welcome to tell you the boss.
I do the whiskey side of things. I mean, I've had to go and sit one night and eat haggis and drink whiskey and do the Lassie's retort.
So
Robert Burns evening. So maybe I should come and do a Lassie's retort on her show sometime. But she's been doing something very interesting in the last couple of days with Diners Club.
Yes. So Diners Club, I've worked with Diners Club for about 16 or 17 years, and they are very big supporters of the South African wine industry. In fact, I think they run that as the longest standing competition in the country that continues to be supported by the same sponsor. So Diners Club do the Winemaker of the Year and the Young Winemaker of the Year awards. And they select a different category every year. And we judge the whole thing blind. I always say it's the only profession in the whole world where you're not allowed to know what you're doing. And if you get the answer wrong, you're an arsehole.
Well, if you don't like the taste of something, then you don't like it. It's also good to have personal preference.
I mean, it's like me taking
a quaffing thing.
Imagine if I took Alan Pick from the butcher shop and I put 25 steaks in front of him and I said to him, now, Alan, I need you to tell me where this rump came from. What color was the cow? How old was the cow? Where did the cow live? What did the cow eat? And you don't get it right. And then they say, oh, you must go to Alan Peck's place.
Don't go
to Alan Peck's place. He doesn't
know anything about food, yeah.
So that's the world I live in. Anyway, Diners Club, it's a fabulous competition. And the Winemaker of the Year gets a big prize, like 100,000 rand and a trip to any wine producing area in the world, paid for by Diners Club, to a winery. to go and do a vintage or a something at the winery. Mm. And the young winemaker gets the same. I think he just gets 50,000 rand and not 100,000 rand, something like that. But it's just wonderful. They get, obviously, Diners Club promotes them throughout the year. Their wines are used by Diners Club for all their eventing and functioning around the world for the whole year. So it's really a meaningful sort of a competition. And we've just handed out the awards on Saturday night down at Arabella in Hermanus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Arabella's lovely.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. And Conrad Flock got the winemaker of the year. He is from Strandveld.
Yeah.
Which, close to my heart, I was one of the founder owners of Strandveld. I am no longer an owner of Strandveld, haven't been for 7 or 8 years. But he won it, and it was very gratifying because we planted those very first vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
And now my COVID brain's clicking, and I can't remember the...
Who's the young winemaker?
And for South Africans who live abroad, who go home to South Africa, what are like the new places that they should visit, the wineries?
You know, Jenny, there's so many. There's been quite a big revolution in the South African wine industry. And Mel and I were talking about it earlier. There's a wonderful sort of organic growth that's starting to happen in our industry. And a lot of the what we used to do when we were varsity, you know, there's big co-ops.
No.
So there was the Swartland co-op, which we could buy 5 liters of Swartland dry red when I was at Wits for like 6 rand or something.
You're giving your age away.
And it was damn delicious. I can tell you that much. It was really, really, really delicious stuff. It now happens to be all of those producers that supplied the Swartland cooperative are now all these Swartland sort of
their own little
revolutionaries
farm.
And they are causing a big storm all over the world because the fruit's gorgeous. It's a specific area. It makes lovely, dense, rich, perfumey, gorgeous Shirazes and yummy honeyed Chenins and things. So Swartland is big, and that I think we can thank all those sort of eco warriors from the Swartland. They've done all of that. But more than that, there's been some serious investment from what I call my checkbook wine farmers, and they've been amazing. They really have poured money into the South African wine industry.
And who are they?
Mr. Rupert. So the Johan Rupert's done it. GT Ferreira's done it. Wendy Applebaum's done it. Lawrence Craft's done it. Dele Craft, you know, De Villiers Graaf from De Grendel. So a lot of people who have put their money where their mouths are. And they've poured money into the industry. There's a lot of education going on, and there's fabulous wine coming out of South Africa.
But that's the nice thing, is that you've got all the youngsters who are getting into it now. It's become almost like a trendy thing to actually make your own wine.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Yeah. There's a lot of little, what I call cuckoos. You know, Neil Ellis was the first cuckoo winemaker. He's the first guy who didn't have a farm, and he didn't have a cellar. And he took a sort of a French approach to it. As you know, there's lots of growers and things, and then people go and buy the grapes and they make their wine somewhere else. Neil Ellis did that, and he was a cuckoo winemaker. And everybody thought, how can we take this guy seriously? He doesn't have his own farm and he doesn't have his own cellar. But he did. And now there are a lot more, as you say, those little boutique winemakers who go and they see a patch of Cinso. And they say, I'm going to look after that for the next 12 months. I'm going to harvest. I'm going to vinify. I'm going to make it as if it were my own. But they don't actually own the land. But it's giving them the opportunity to express themselves through the wine. It's lovely.
So the young winemakers are coming through like very, very strongly, which is great because, I mean, it is something that I think people are always going to drink. It's not a flash in the pan thing where everybody's like, oh, this is the latest thing. We must all now make a specific type of craft gin. You know?
Yeah. Although they do tend to do that. We sort of... coming apart at the seams, and we've got so many craft gins, but I mean, who doesn't want a gin and tonic at the end of the day?
Give me just a plain gin and tonic.
Even at the beginning of the day.
The beginning of the day is even better. But so for Jenny, I mean, she's sitting over there. We do discuss wine every now and then, especially when there's happenings across the world, or like, you know, South Africans are doing well. And there's a lot of people, though, that they'll go overseas, and even South Africans living overseas say, oh, well, the South African wines just aren't that good, you know. And I'm sitting here and thinking, in fact, I think the South African wines are better than anything else I can get over there.
But Mel, how many, I mean, I agree the South African wines are lovely, but how many other wines are you tasting? You know, when last did you taste wine from New Zealand, from France? Do you know what I mean?
Every day. Yeah,
I start at 9 o'clock in the morning and I'm still tasting at 9 o'clock at night. No, I taste a lot.
That's divine.
In my job, I taste a lot. And listen, we do make some lovely wine. We also make some rubbish stuff, but so does everybody.
Yeah. I know, but only the rubber stuff was.
Oh, Tassie's.
Tassie's is always going to be the. Do you remember Tassie's, Jenny?
No.
Tassenberg. I'm a Francophile because I studied overseas in England and I cut my teeth really. I went straight from autumn harvest crackling to. I had a fascinating mentor of a boss in London when I was working there. And I went straight from autumn harvest crackling to Chateau Lafite. He taught me how to, and that's what really sparked my interest in wine, was what I did. So I'm very Francophilian. I love France and I love Italy.
You know, here what happened is we have some South African friends who got a house near Montpellier. And here at the end of the wine season, you can just go into the field. You don't even have to pay. Just anything that's left over, you can take home any of the grapes as long as you pick them yourself, you know? and so they did that. And the husband, you know, Alan, he stomped on those wine, on those grapes all night long, stirring. They did the whole thing. And actually, it was so divine. And now it's a few years later, and they actually have bought a little, their own
gorgeous
little part of a vineyard. Yeah.
Where do you stay in France?
I'm in the south, between Cannes and Nice in a place called Antibes.
I know.
But, Oh, really? Oh, well, you must visit next time. Lots of rosé because of the sunshine here, you know. It's so we do start pretty early because
I know I can get all these terrible secrets out of everybody. They say, oh no, they could never have my job. By the time I'm finished speaking to them, they say, well, the other morning somebody came to see me and we opened a bottle of such and such, and I said, you see, we all start early.
Yep. It's interesting. I mean, you say like in England, you learn about it in England, and I worked in a wine bar in England, although I think we were only serving plonk, to be honest. I know that there was some pretty good wine. You were asking whether I drank it. So yes, I used to drink a lot of it when I lived in England.
Yeah, but
the English
long
don't
ago.
Make wine, okay? So how would the English know? Let's put it that way.
Well, I'm going to say no, but they do make wine.
They make wine.
Amazing wine at the state.
The English are making wine.
English are starting to make bubbly. They're making some of the nicest fizz in the world, and it's very expensive. But if you have a look at England, it's on the same latitude as Champagne in certain parts of it. So in Kent, down in the southern part of England, really, Gary Jordan from Jordan Winery, he's bought the most gorgeous farm in Hampshire, Surrey. I don't know where he is. It's called Mouse House or Mouse Hall.
I did see a story about
it.
He's going to make
bubbly. And you'll see. There's some really...
Mal hasn't been to visit for a long time, so I think it's time that Mal...
I think it's time I got my butt overseas again. But, I mean, the whole thing is that I think of England and I think of Perry. I love Perry. You know, for people who don't know what Perry is, there's a thing called Google. Google is your friend. No, I'm joking. It's a lovely sparkling pear wine.
Yeah, it's like a cider.
Scrumpy. Yeah, cider.
It's like a sparkling cider.
I think beer, or even beer, I think more Germany. But for England, it's always been scrumpy. Elderflower wine, which is what my grandfather used to make. Okay, so I think about that. I don't think of them as being a wine-producing country.
It's quite new, but they are really – we sit up and watch. There's going to be some really, really nice stuff coming out of England.
But, of course, England is in the news at the moment because King Charles III has just had his first state visit from no other than our esteemed president here in South Africa.
Yes.
Cyril Ramaphosa has been playing with the royalty over in England.
Yeah.
I've just loved seeing the photos. Did you see the photo last night? Oh, and the video where Ramaphosa was at the banquet and he toasted King Charles and then sort of turned around and wasn't sure what to do, and then him and Kate toasted. And just the most beautiful smiles on both their faces. I think he's like really got on well with them.
Well, we wouldn't get on well with Kate. She's gorgeous.
She's
in a bottle, that girl. She's really lovely.
Yeah, and I could see there's one photo where you can just see he's making her and William just laugh, and some other photos where him and King Charles are just like killing themselves laughing. So he's definitely, got into their hearts. And Charles just said a lovely, lovely thing about how, his mother was in Cape Town in 1947 when she pledged to serve the Commonwealth for the rest of her life. And he said, it's just so fitting that his first official state visit is hosting South Africa.
Oh, that's lovely. Actually, that is me. I have a bit of a soft spot for Cyril. I mean, I know there's always this bad press that's going on. And of course, there's a whole bunch of elections happening here in South Africa at the moment. But he's still winning that race.
Yeah, he is by a country mile.
Which is a good thing, because some of the other people who are being put forward, I'm sitting there looking at this and just thinking, I call no winner. Anyhow, but in England, as I said, in the news, of course, the Boca are going to be playing there this weekend, and hopefully they repeat what they did this past weekend.
Are they playing England or Wales or Scotland? England.
England, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so actually, Ramaphosa said that as well last night. He's, because they want to do a lot more England and South Africa together, not only financial stuff, but also sports and arts and everything. And then President Ramaphosa said, yeah, but I'm not going to talk about sport with you, King Charles, because we've got the big match coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after we've beaten you, then we can talk. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to find the right bottle of wine to drink while we all watch that game.
No, man.
Which would be the best, in your opinion?
Because you can't drink anything where the Soccer World Cup's happening at the moment. So we'll have to do all the drinking for
them. Yes, that's been a little bit controversial, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently they sent all the Budweiser back. Budweiser being one of the biggest sponsors ever. I remember when we hosted the World Cup here, Budweiser sent hundreds and thousands of bottles of Bud here. Nobody in South Africa drinks Budweiser, but I would imagine the World Cup people should sort all of this out before the World Cup. What would you say?
Absolutely.
Are South Africa even in the World Cup this year?
We don't qualify.
No, they're not.
We didn't qualify.
They did not qualify.
I don't follow that rugby girl. My blood is green.
Okay? I don't know anything.
They didn't qualify. However, you can still watch it on Showmax Pro, and they've got an incredible deal on until January, although the World Cup ends on the 18th of December. But it's like half price, so it's really worth it because you get other sports as well, Mel. Mm-hmm. So you'll get your Tour de France and everything.
Yay.
But I think, let me not say that for definite. But the World Cup itself is really worth watching because there are other African countries. Plus, like yesterday, history was made when, it's been 72 years since there's been such a shock with Saudi Arabia beating Argentina.
I know, that was absolutely phenomenal.
And Argentina were like the favorites,
I'm sure if they cheated, it would have been pulled up very quickly.
In the world we live in today.
Go to your bedroom and don't come out again.
Yeah.
All right, so Jen, what news have you got for expats at the moment? What's happening on SA people?
Well, I just saw something really funny, with you guys saying sort of you can't start drinking just yet at 8 in the morning, whatever. Skalk Bezadenate, the comedian who got us through lockdown, he is in New Zealand at the moment because he obviously made a lot of fans during lockdown. And so he's touring there till the end of the month, but he just arrived and he's got a show right now, this minute, and he said that he actually feels like he's going on stage at 8 in the morning, like he just
because he's in New Zealand.
He's on South African time, so that's really good. So if you're in New Zealand, look out for Skalk. We've obviously got the rugby. Oh, and then if you're in Paris, until the 27th of November, there's two stunning South African female artists who are doing this exhibition together. It's called Eclipse. And I've seen the art. It's beautiful. It's sort of our greatest desires, our greatest fears. So that whole eclipse thing comes in, where you're looking into the the deep depths and who we hide from, you know, who we really are, that we hide from the world, but colorful, wonderful art.
What's the medium? Oils, watercolors.
Yes, watercolors. And actually, there's a lithograph from Jean-Michel Basquiat. I can't pronounce his name. There are a few of his unique pieces that are there at the same time. It's in the 7th arrondissement at Galerie Artismania. Head on there if you're in Paris.
Come over to the dark side. We don't do cookies, we have wine.
We have wine and cookies and there was a huge eclipse, I think, on the 11th of November. Mm-hmm. New portals opening, all kinds of weird things happening. What's happening for Christmas? And I'm a big Christmas fiend. What's happening in London and Paris and everywhere? We got no Christmas spirit here.
You've got to keep on looking at people.com.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Paris like 10 days ago, about 2 weeks ago. Mm. And you know, all the shop windows get done. The Louis Vuitton one, you just want to live in the window, you know.
I see that Veuve Clicquot have
sorry, I'm having a moment. Living in a window. It's not Amsterdam, okay? You can't live in a shop
Louis
window.
Vuitton, I can only do the window in Louis Vuitton. I can't go in and buy. But see that Veuve Clicquot have made a deal with Smeg, the fridge people, and they've made a beautiful Smeg Veuve Clicquot fridge for Christmas. And it costs...
What a wine cooler.
It costs... No, it's a proper fridge, but it's bright yellow like Veuve Clicquot is. And you get 70 bottles of Veuve Clicquot inside the fridge, I think.
That makes it all worth it.
It's like 90,000 Rand or something to buy the fridge and the Veuve Clicquot. But it's a beautiful sort of limited edition Veuve Clicquot Smeg. And I think you can buy them around the world.
Listen, the only wine cooler I've got is this one over here, but it is hiding a six-pack underneath. Okay.
Says Mel, pointing at her tummy. And out of interest, I've noticed in the last couple of years this real increase in interest in Prosecco. And around here, there's just been this huge trend of everybody drinking Aperol Spritz.
I know.
Is it the same in South Africa?
Yeah, it's huge. And quite frankly, I don't like it at all.
I'm not big on Aperol either.
No.
But I'll tell you something nice.
Maybe you've got to sit on the beach to drink it because I've been falling in love.
It depends on who you know what? It's who you're drinking it with as well. You've got some gorgeous creature on a beach and a whatever. You can drink turpentine, it doesn't matter. I tell you what, I had some lunch with George and Giorgio Dallachia. You'll remember Giorgio Dallachia. He was the winemaker at Mierlust for 150,000 years. And his son, George, now makes Dallachia wine. And when I was in Cape Town on the weekend, I stopped and had some lunch with George and Giorgio and George's wife. And they have made a Prosecco.
Yum.
Oh.
I've got COVID brain.
Giorgio's. I don't know.
It's called Bollicante because, you know, they're very Italian.
Yeah.
And they've made Bollicante and the label is so cool. What he's done is he's taken all the Pantones from the labels that he and his father have put together for the last 50 years. And he's made little dots of all those Pantones.
The Pantone colors.
And it's just a dotty label. It's very festive. It's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It's highly drinkable. It's not hugely expensive. So that's a good tip for Christmas drinking.
Okay. I'm keeping it.
And what is the difference between champagne and Prosecco?
Oh, God, we can't even go there, Jen.
Because champagne, you're going to have to watch Carrie's
connoisseurs.
Okay, that's
okay. I know the taste difference, but just the production. And so you know, you were just talking. Now imagine if everybody grabbed that little few seconds of what you just said, where you said he had been working there for 150,000 years. Yeah, imagine if everybody turns on you. You can't do your math.
We went to the same math school.
They should all be in that class. People who can't. Famous people can't. Okay, that is the little elephant in the room at the moment. Okay, we'll just call it the global from here on in.
Yes.
So it's Louisville. I mean, she really did kind of call.
What are you saying? You're calling what?
I'm
calling
her
that.
Louisville, which means elephant. Okay, so the elephant is in the room. Unlike me, where I'm an elephant, I never forget anything. Okay, so that's why my kids call me that. But I mean, she really did cause a bit of a
storm in a teacup.
Yeah, because I actually find it quite funny, and I'm loving all the stuff that's coming out about it. You know,
has she returned? Yeah. She sort of rebutted
anything back?
Not that I've seen. And honestly, South Africans are always turning on her, so I don't think it would be in her interest to say anything and just like put fuel on the fire. Don't you think?
What irritates me here, though, is all the people who still call her Charlize Theron or Theron.
Theron.
Sorry, Theron. But you know, I sit there every time I hear it on the radio.
Theron.
It's Theron.
Of course it is Theron.
But even in
South, yeah, but it's not. She's Charlize Theron.
It's not Theron.
Okay.
Or as I saw some other Afrikaans person saying, maybe it was Skalk Bezaden, saying it's Tron, not Theron.
Yeah.
It's Tron.
You ask any poor person with the surname Tron here in South Africa.
So she's Charlize Theron, who failed maths at school.
Exactly.
Yes.
Along with you.
I love you, you're beautiful.
And then somebody went and put, I think it wasn't Gus Silver, it was one of the other kind of writers who put stuff out on Facebook as well. And he was going, yeah, man, Charlene. And I just went, I think you'll find that Charlene is a princess in
the palace.
No fairies here, darling.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so I mean, that has been a bit of a a little contretemps, shall we say. Not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's been really funny. The lightheartedness of it has been so funny. It's a bit sad that some people, you know, took it like your comment of 150,000 years.
I just can't believe, that you're not allowed to have a sense of humor anymore. You're not allowed to laugh at yourself. You're not allowed to exaggerate, which is so important when it comes to getting your
Really?
50,000 years sounds much better than 50 years.
Yeah, 50 years is just like
so boring.
We were talking about food and things that are good. I'm just looking at this wine at the moment, and that was water, but Carrie and I changed it into wine, by the way.
I thought Mel would pick
this morning. We learned how to I'm not going there. Okay. But talking about things that are good to put in your wine, I see you've got a story. We did talk about it, I think, either last week or the week before, about the South African, the third chef to get a Michelin star.
Yes, it's Tinus van der Westhuizen, and I said we had an interview coming up.
Yes.
We've done the interview, and Tinus is wonderful. He's been overseas since about 2012. But the best thing is that not only is he now a Michelin star chef who, Carrie, if you're traveling in Abu Dhabi, go and check it out at 66 Sushi Bar.
Okay.
But he still says his happy place is next to a braai with his friends and family, and his favorite way of making food is fire and braais. And he said, you know, that's what he loves about South African food is the natural elements that are used to get different tastes into food. Do you know what I mean?
That's probably why David Higgs went for the whole thing with marble.
David Higgs has got an indoor braai marble. Yeah, I always say to him, it's just an indoor braai. But the South African boys do love to braai, don't they? It's their thing. They love it.
Listen, I could sit and watch David Higgs cooking any and every day of the week.
I could watch him do anything.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
He can cook.
He's
beautiful. Who is he? Mm. He's so good. He is beautiful. In fact, we'll
who is he?
Oh, he is. Well, Jen, when you're out here again, we're going to go to Marble. You're going to love it because he is just yum.
We'll put him on the show here one day.
You don't even need to eat. We'll just sit there, drink like some nice wine that Carrie tells us to drink, and we'll just watch him.
He's a very
please tell me who he is.
He's a chef. He owns Marble. He owns Saint. He has what's it called? The tuck shop, the pantry. The pantry, which is in Rosebank as well.
Pantry's like a posh garage shop.
Yeah. It's in a garage.
Uh-huh. Very nice.
I think I've seen photos, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Okay.
But he always gets frightened whenever he sees me coming because he knows I'm just going to salivate the entire time. Not about the food, about him because he's delish. Anyhow, what else have we got? I mean, we talked about that. Kevin Fraser. Who's Kevin Fraser?
Kevin Fraser's this brilliant comedian, a South African who's been living in Australia for 150,000 years. and he is...
I think we're going to patent this.
He is back in South Africa he's actually already arrived now, but in December he'll be doing shows called The Minister of Entertainment, but it's not political at all. And he'll be, it probably is if you think of it. He'll be in Durban, PE, not PE.
Geberge.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And Cape Town.
Yeah.
And Cape Town. So it's really worth going to see him. And we're hoping that he doesn't get anything stolen, because when he was here in Europe a couple of months ago, his huge suitcase with everything in got stolen off a train. So in Germany.
Is that supposed to happen in Germany, for goodness sake?
Unfortunately, since their, they had a huge intake of refugees about 5 or 6 years ago, and the theft on trains has escalated. I can't remember exactly how much, but it's huge.
Oh, talking about people appropriating things, I'm a little bit annoyed about these Cape Townians who think that they can appropriate our jacarandas.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen the pictures, like, Cape Town has their own jacarandas now. I'm like, excusez-moi. It's bad enough that Pretoria calls themselves the jacaranda city when we have more of them here in Joburg. Okay, now the Cape Townians are trying to take it away from us as well. Slapstick people, forget it.
But you know what? The Slapstick people can keep that, because half of the Johannesburg people have moved. They've semigrated to Cape Town. Mm. And having just come back like 36 hours ago, it is bursting at the seams. There are a few jacarandas there. But I think with the great mobilization of money from Johannesburg down to Cape Town, I think all the burglars are going to follow them. So we're going to be able to walk on our jacaranda-lined streets.
Freely.
Free.
And that's why Tally's moved back up to Joburg.
Free, you see.
Yeah.
And enjoy our jacarandas at the same time.
Have you seen any of the Tally's Joburg diary?
No.
Which has started as well now. She's moved from Cape Town. She's moved back to Joburg. She's back in Joburg and trying to get some work. I have been watching it. You can hear by the way I'm speaking. And who was it? Somebody turned around this week and said on Kate Normington's Facebook feed, I didn't realize that people still spoke Kugel.
Yes.
And in Joburg anymore. We speak Kardashian.
No. I speak Kugel.
Somebody said, is Kugel a dying language like Afrikaans?
It's been a long time since we did that. All right, so one of the good things that happened, I don't know if you saw it, I'm talking about entertainment, was that the International Grammy Awards, South Africa did quite well there, didn't they, Jen?
Oh, man, so proud. They did so, so well. Kids animation category, they won. It was like one of the biggest awards. And I spoke to the guys. It's so exciting. I'll post some more photos today. It's Fundy Films who did the production, and the show is called My Better World, which won. And it's a beautiful TV series. It goes around Africa. It's in about 4 different languages, and it's 8 African teens kind of handling life and friendship and all that. Sorry, my cat is playing with everything on the table right now. And it's Fundy Films and Marn Projects. So they in South Africa, the whole thing, it's one of the very few series where everything was done in Africa, mainly in South Africa.
I have to have a look and see who that is.
Yeah, no, that would be lovely to see. Okay.
Chris is the guy, Chris, I've forgotten Chris's surname right now, but Chris is the owner.
Okay,
of
well done, Chris.
It's just awesome.
Chris.
But we were talking about, okay, you've got to watch Tally. Now you're going to have to watch that as well. We're going to educate Carrie as to what she should be watching.
Carrie. There used to be a film called Educating Rita.
with the wonderful Julie Walters and with Michael Caine. Beautiful
wasn't
movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was a great movie. So we talk about people who live overseas and do well. And of course, the first person that always comes to mind is Trevor Noah. Now he's retiring, resigned from the Today Show. Yeah.
Oh, is he resigned from
that?
I stopped watching the news in April because it was turning me into a bit of an angry person. So
you've got to watch the good news on SA People.
Exactly what I'm going to do. This is my new channel.
We have kind of 80 to 90% good news, and then we put in that little 10% just to keep it real because people complained that we had our head in the sand, whatever that saying is.
So we tell them, and then we laugh a bit.
And then we laugh a bit at it. Trevor Noah, so he finishes, I think, on the 8th of December. Cool. He's got some tour lined up for next year. But if you have Netflix right now, his new stand-up show, it's called I Wish You Would. It looks really, really funny. The reviews have been amazing.
He's not coming back to South Africa, is he?
I think he is, but I don't think he's moving.
I think he's doing a tour because one of my twins is like a complete Trevor Noah nut. And also talking about Skalper Zadenhout, I mean, he usually, we find him up in Rosebank sometimes having coffee by the Woolies there, and my kids will see him, and the one that likes comedy a lot, she's like, look. And she was completely mad about Trevor Noah. And the first time when she saw him when she was much younger, she just turned around and said, he's my biggest fan. Instead of saying, I'm not. But we did manage to, thanks to Carolyn Stain, of course, she managed to get a signed copy to her from him. And she has got all of his books and she's watched everything he's ever done. I mean, Trevor Noah for her is her absolute hero. Okay, so we're going to. Let's tell Carrie what she should be watching out for on television as well, because there's so much wonderful South African stuff. We talk about, like, you know, we had last week we had Kate Normington from Tally's Joburg Diaries talking to us. So we have all these wonderful things that we find out about. So
definitely my new news feed. Yeah. I didn't even know.
and also, Mal, I just wanted to say that maybe your daughter might get lucky because Trevor Noah is selling his place in the place in New York or LA. I can't remember which one. So he might be planning on spending more time in South Africa. You never know. But I think he also just wants to travel.
Yeah.
But so does she. So, yeah. We should see what we can do. But Carrie, so I think Trevor Noah's show is definitely worth a watch.
Okay.
Tully's Joburg Diary.
Tully's Joburg Diary?
On Showmax. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think there's two episodes every Friday. So you're in the middle of it right now. And if you have Showmax in South Africa, then you can also watch The White Lotus, which is international.
It's so dark.
I love White Lotus.
Yeah, which one are you watching? Are you watching the number one or number two? Hawaii or Sicily?
I hadn't watched number one yet. So I watched three or four of number one. This is the first series. But it's so dark. Funny music, and I keep on expecting, I'm sort of anticipating something very deeply weird to go down any minute now. I'm sure there does.
I think that we all got inured with weird music when we used to watch Twin Peaks.
Oh, my God.
Because remember, Twin Peaks would be certain music for certain people. But no, White Lotus is great fun. I mean,
it's fun. There's not going to be any dark, ghastly murder or...
No, I don't know. Okay. There might be. Who knows? Anything's possible.
Nothing you can't handle. There'll be nothing you can't handle.
Just look at Midsommar. Imagine living in Midsommar.
That was so cruel. You know, have you seen how hectic some of those things are? Even if you think about some of the nursery rhymes that we used
to have. Yes, I know. The world is a thing.
But Midsommar Murders is very gruesome.
I know.
I love it.
And I love it too. but I won't watch Dexter, for instance. All right. So I think we could stay here talking all day.
Absolutely.
What we need to do, first of all, is find out, what do you have coming up on sapeople.com next week? What is the big story?
Just some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful photos. I don't know if you remember, but back in 2018, the South African expat in the Ukraine, who's now left the Ukraine but still helps so much, helped, along with Turkish Airlines, to take four lions that had been in a zoo and were so depressed, take those four lions to South Africa and to Kragekamme Game Park near Kibera. And now we have got photos from Alicia Cantor, you know, and she's also the one who runs Africa, This Is Why I Live Here. Mm-hmm. So she's amazing, and she's got this game park, and she has got the lions, and they have just thrived. Oh, like, brilliant. You can't believe it. It's the most beautiful, heartwarming photos of lions I've ever seen.
Oh, so my child saw her first lion kill the other day, because she's training as a field guide. Mm. And they were going around, and there was this old male lion who was as scrawny as anything. But he managed to, on his own, he went and he caught a zebra. And I mean, he was like, he really knew, you looked at him and he knew that he needed a meal. He's on a game farm. It's not like in some really horrible place. They're out there doing their thing. But I'm just so glad for her that she got to see that. But to finish off with the lions, you have to eat, so do we. And Jenny Baxter sends me a WhatsApp this week with a picture of somebody on the page. Obviously, he went and put up a cover picture of Jamie Oliver's new book, Veg. And he's like, yeah, man. So Jenny Baxter sends me the same. I don't understand what is so funny about this, because Jenny Baxter has forgotten her Afrikaans.
And I never knew that. Since when? How do you even pronounce it?
Fech. Even my children know. Fech. Fech met iemand.
Fech.
I've never heard that word in my life.
That's because you come but from maybe the AZN because region, darling, not like here where we get down and dirty and fech met a la mensa, ne?
Yeah.
Did you see I did, after I checked with you, I posted it on Facebook, but I did say you have to be one of the 44 to understand this. And that I had to phone a friend.
Somebody phone a friend. You never know if you're in a trouble. Even my brother, he picks up the phone and he says, Mel, I need to know this. And I'm like, what am I walking in encyclopedia? I am the crisis.
You are fact check,
Mel. Checker. There we go. So, Carrie, thank you very much. We're going to be putting it out everywhere when your podcast and your YouTube is up and running and your first one's happening. Jen, we'll give it to you as well, so you can share it with all the people from sapeople.com as well. Put it up on Facebook. I think it's quite exciting.
We've maybe we'll do a seasonal wine tasting with us three girls.
Yeah, we'll have to send her
summer,
some.
Spring, autumn, winter.
But we've got to get some wine to her.
Oh, that's easy.
She'll send you some wine, Jen, for Christmas.
For I'll sit here with my cat and drink.
We'll just get over the cat. Throw it over the cat. All right, so for those of you who really enjoy sharing good news, please don't forget, of course, you can get onto the sapeople.com website, or of course, just onto Facebook. Go and post your pictures. Let Jenny know about any fabulous stories that you've got coming up, because, of course, we love to hear the good news and the views of South Africans at home and everywhere else in the world. And we'll catch up with you again next week. Until then, take good care, and bye-bye, Jenny. See you soon.
Bye.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.